That's how we, like I said yesterday, can Christians have problems? Yes. Three reasons. One, ignorance. Two, impatience. Three, iniquity. And what do I mean by iniquity? One of the things that constitute iniquity is this. Jesus said, do it like this. Our culture says, do it like this. We side with our culture and ignore what Jesus is saying. That's it. We have walked away from blessing into a curse. We start uttering, opening our mouths and uttering what our culture says. Our culture tells us where to marry from and where not to marry from. Our culture tells us how to handle money and what is important. Our culture will be teaching us things. You see Christians still telling their wives that until you have a son, your leg is not firm in this house. Please, you're a Muslim. You know, Christian culture must teach you things. Christian culture, people will still get up and say that, you know, I'm from here. My people don't marry from there. Who are your people? Who are your people? By the time you say my people, you have denied the blood of Christ. You have. If you have given your life to Christ, your people are the people of God. Your people are those who obey the word of God. Your people. So when you want to agree with God, like Derek Prince was teaching on categories, that you need to learn how God categorizes things. So you have more allegiance. Listen to what I want to say. You have more allegiance to a Sokoto man who is a believer than to your literal cousin who is an unbeliever. That is Christian culture. They came to Jesus. They said, your brothers and your mother, they are looking for you. He said, who's my brother? Who are my brethren? Who is my mother? That was what he said. He said, who are my brethren? Who's my mother? He did not, do you know the truth? He didn't get up to go and attend to them. He did not get up. He said, if she's really my mother, she will be sitting down here, hearing what I'm saying. I know the truth. Mary heard the gospel. Yeah, Mary heard the gospel and believed. Because the day of Pentecost, she was amongst those who were waiting. That was when she became the real mother. You give birth to me, Jesus said, doesn't mean anything. We're born from the same family, doesn't mean anything. If you not attend to the word of God, believe in Christ Jesus, you are not my brother. That's what our problem, look, listen, that is the problem that Christians have. They can't seem to just accept it. Because, let me tell you something, the faith of Christ makes demands. It makes demands. Oh, the faith of Christ makes demands. When we say Christianity is easy, I qualify something earlier. I said, for those who do what? Love righteousness. The faith of Christ makes demands. There are things people say, this is how to save up for your future. Jesus said, if I see save up for your future, I will collapse a bank because of you. You know he does that. I was discussing with you yesterday. People were using men of God to say, walk with me. Big men, rich Nigerians, using men of God to do Saul, what I call Saul phenomenon. When God had rejected Saul, he begged Samuel to walk with him. So there are people that God, they are using big men of God to do walk with me. God said, no problem. God collapsed them, collapsed their institutions to let them know that men of God walking with you don't mean anything. In the same manner, a child of God can decide that I need to save for my future. And they'll go to, you know, financial planning, how to have investment to secure when you are retired. It sounds logical, right? But Jesus said clearly, black and white, don't lay up treasure on the earth. He said it in black and white. Do not lay up treasure on the earth. What else do you want? The problem is that people now can't do that. They want to take Christ and still be laying up their treasure. And some of the preachers will now come and be teaching them how to worry about tomorrow. We do that. We organize seminars in church. Those seminars are founded on fundamental worldly principles. When you want to do financial seminar in church, look, if I'm pastor of a church, I will do it. In fact, even the kingdom will do it one of these days. If I have a series on it, biblical financial management, we have one on our website like that. Biblical financial management. Listen, for us believers, spiritual things are real. We don't behave as if these things are not real. We don't. For us, it is real. He said, treasure laid up for your future? Yes. Where is it? My treasure is in heaven. It's my faith that's my treasure. So how do you know? The Bible says that the trial of your faith be more precious than gold that perishes. So my investment is how much faith I have. And Jesus has taught us that what you need to do as a Christian is to build up your faith. Not build up your financial income. Not build up the amount of resources you have laid down. Not build up your asset. I've read all those books too. Cash Flow Quadrant. Read that, Paul, that. Robert Kiyosaki. I read at least 4 of his books. Asset column, liability column. My spiritual asset is more important. If I have faith, one day I was talking with my wife, I said, listen, just imagine the way we are right now. I said, imagine a man that has 100 houses, $100 million, a house in Abuja, Enugu, Port Harcourt, Oka. You understand? I said, let's then project over the next 10, 15 years. Who do you think is sure? And I didn't have any of this. I said, who do you think is surer of where we live in 15 years, that man or me? And you know the truth? When I was saying it, my heart was not shaking. I meant it. I said, I'm surer I will have a house in 15 years' time than that guy. I'm surer of it. I don't doubt it. If they say, let us bet, I will put a bet on me. I won't put a bet on him. Who is he? If you can't do that, you don't have faith. You mind earthly things. That's like somebody's rich. God sees my heart. I'm not lying to you. It doesn't impress me as in he's secure. Secure? Secure? Do you know what they call security? Maybe you don't have enough information. That's why you're talking like that. If you had enough information about what has happened in this life, you wouldn't talk like that. Last time I was in Kaduna, that was about 2 weeks ago, when Pastor Delva and I were speaking, when he was telling me some things, I said, he mentioned one big man, former military administrator, that he needed to buy something from. He narrated the man's life as a military administrator. And he told us about the man's life today. Do you understand? I was like, what? So these things we say, they are really true. A big man of just a few years ago, right now, a broke man. Material things, they are. Look, if God says you are poor, believe him. I know what I'm telling you. When God looks at somebody and says, this guy is very poor, even if he drives in a convoy. Listen, one day, one of these American guys was writing a book. He said one day he went to wash his car. Who was washing his car? A man that he knew to be a star basketballer, millionaire, was washing car to survive. He was washing cars to survive. Mike Tyson made over $300 million boxing. He was flying pigeon for National Geographic to survive. Whitney Houston. We all know Whitney Houston. Till today, people argue that she's still the best female voice the musical industry has ever heard worldwide. Whitney Houston. Before she died, she was flat broke. Whitney Houston. What are we talking about here? Material things. And look, when God says you are poor, believe him when he says you are poor. I always like to give the story of Michael Jackson and Steve Jobs, who revolutionized the mobile phone industry. $100 billion cash in the bank that Apple had. Of course, it wasn't his private money, but he was a billionaire too. Yet he was sick, and he died. And there was nothing his money could do for him. They removed his liver, gave him a new liver. He still died. You know why? God was just looking at him, saying, this soul is mine. So there's nothing material that guarantees anything. Nothing. M.K. Wabiola of those days, arguably one of the richest Nigerians that ever existed. So one day he finished, he was a philanthropist. Gave out money plenty one day. Somebody now prayed for him on the phone. He said, may Agbanono enter your money. Agbanono is a Yoruba word. It's a spiritual phenomenon. Literally means collect and spend. Collect and spend. That's what it means. But it's, what they mean in Yoruba is that is this. That may something that keeps taking money away from you, tending to run into poverty, not enter your money. They say, M.K. Abiola said, that prayer is not necessary. When I heard it, I said, what? A friend of mine said, I heard it with my ears. I didn't hear it myself, but reported to me. One of my colleagues said, I heard it. Not they said, I heard it. So I think it's authentic information I have. He said, I heard it myself. The M.K. Abiola said, that prayer is not necessary. That if it enters, it will eat money until you almost choke, it will go away. When I heard it, I felt sorry for him. I said, there are statements you are not supposed to make. I'm not into secular music, but once I heard P-Square sing. Now, I listened to one of their albums. There was one of the tracks. I don't even know what the song, you know, I can't sing the song for you. I can't remember. But I remember one sentence they made. P-Square said, we are not the ones that sing the best. It's just God that has helped us. I said, for this statement people have made, you will last long. Listen, I don't listen to them. I'm not their fan. I said, you made this statement, you will last long. And you sang it in an album. Before God will judge you, you need to shoot somebody, take somebody's wife. That is, this statement you have made. But the other guy say, hey, I'm the best. Hey, I'm the guy. Hey, I'm Coco Master. I say, you cannot laugh. Forget all this noise. You can't last. It's not possible. I say, look, someone need to tell me, I'm capable of that thing. I felt bad for him. I said, oh God, these are statements human beings are not supposed to make. You're supposed to just say amen. The amen won't kill you. I don't know whether you know this this African folk story about white monkey says, am. They say one day tortoise came to monkey and told monkey, say, the trouble a man does not know the left from the right. You don't know the source of it. May it not come to you. Now monkey say, which kind of prayer is that? Tortoise says, say amen now. He said, why should I say amen to that kind of rubbish prayer? Why would trouble come to me in the first place? Tortoise said, just say amen. Monkey said, I know they say amen. Okay, tortoise said, right, that's the way you like it. Tortoise now went and fried akara. Dipped it in honey. And one day was going, saw lion on the road. Toss one for lion. Lion chopped it in men. See grudge. Give lion another one. Lion ate it again. Give lion another one. Lion ate it. Ah! Lion said, man, this is good. Ah! Where did you get this from? Tortoise said, now monkey shit. He said, now monkey shit the shit. Lion said, are you serious? He said, so. He said, so. Ah! Now, we read this book somewhere, children. So lion now called. So the lion was not going on. He answered the monkey. He said, monkey, come. Shit for there. Monkey said, what? So monkey shit small. Lion said, this one is not sweet. Shit the sweet one. So monkey said, are you kidding me? Now lion collect the monkey. Begin beat him. Stand on his stomach. Reproduce sweet shit. Beat the monkey. Beat that the monkey finally managed to escape. Climb the very high tree. Look at that lion. What's all of this? Lion look and say, you will come down. You must shit that sweet shit. And the monkey didn't know what was going on. So next time, tortoise was going, he saw the monkey. He said, the trouble a man does not know the left from the right or where it came from. May it not come upon you. Monkey said, I'm. He said, that is why till today, monkeys, he shouted, amen. The Lord is good. If they pray that kind of prayer, if you say amen, I'll go away. M.K. Abiola didn't say amen. He said, don't worry about the prayer. It's not necessary. The money is too much. Yeah, that's what he said on radio. And God said, oh God, this is why I remove Herod. So God said, all right, that's the way you want it. You know what God did? He said, you don't realize distance is distance. Whether I remove money from you, I remove you from money. The two of you will be separate. So God took him from home and put him inside Abacha's cage. And Abacha locked the door. With all the money he had, I remember hearing Godwin Dabo, that middle belt politician. It was powerful. He went to Abacha and begged Abacha, let this man go home. You know what Abacha said? He said, the money he has is too much. It will disturb my government. Abacha said, the reason why I won't let him go is that he's too rich, he's too influential. If I let him go, my government will not be steady. The same money he said is too plenty. God said, yes. It's the reason why Abacha kept him in prison. And the day after Abacha died or was killed, I don't know. He too also died or was killed, I don't know. All I know is that a few days apart, the two of them were gone. Money does not guarantee the life of the person that has it. And these things are written in the Bible. That's why you are rich. You know the truth, it doesn't move me. God sees my heart. It doesn't. I'm not lying to you. I won't want to be like you. I won't want to be your friend. The only point I respect is if I see that you are affecting the society. Are you getting my point? By your works, by your investments, by the business you are doing, you are creating jobs. Yes, that's when I reckon with you. But that you are rich for the sake of being rich, it really doesn't move me. Because the word of God makes it clear that it means nothing. That's why I tell young women, you can't marry a man because he's rich. It's a very stupid thing to do. And I've seen many before. One of our guys said the other day, those days of 190, there are women who married men because they could buy them 190. And this 20 years later, they are still driving that 190. That same one that was their pride price, they are still driving it to today. The Bible says money flies away. What I want to explain. Anything we are looking for is in Christ Jesus. For us believers, that's why we are Christians. Like I was telling you yesterday, I was teaching my children. The word of God is our inexhaustible source of supply. Everything we want is inside there. Everything we want is in God's word. So, somebody reminded me at the end, I didn't even finish what I was saying. I said there were 4 points I taught my kids. Number one, to tap into the resource inside God's word, the blessing inside the word of God, the supplies inside God's word. Number one, know it. Number two, believe what the scriptures say. Number three, pray with it. Go to God and say, I'm aging. My body's getting weak. That's not what you said, though. You said if I'm a righteous person and my faith is what makes me righteous because of my faith in Christ. Even though I'm old, my body will still be fit. So I start praying with it. So as I'm growing older, I pray over my eyes, pray over my brain, pray over my joints, pray over my skin, pray over my appetite, pray over my strength. And what's the big deal? We've seen people who are old who are still jogging. So I pray with God's word. He's promising God's word. That's number three. And number four, I speak with it. Now, listen to me. First of course, I declare it. But this is just beyond declaring it. I speak with it. It becomes my normal conversation. Like now, I just explained that I was talking with my wife and said, look, in 15, 20 years' time, a man that has houses here and there, has $100 million, and me that don't have those things, who will be surer of accommodation? And I said it with confidence. I think I'm surer, except it's of faith in Christ Jesus. I say it with confidence. Anywhere it places me is where I will prosper. If it places me in Oka, I will prosper there. If you say move to Enugu, I will prosper there. If I say go to Lagos, I'll prosper there. What determines whether I will prosper or not is where God locates me, not where it looks good. Don't ever forget. I keep on telling people, beware of pitching your tent near Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not good. Because Lot, after he pitched his tent there for a while, do you know what happened to him? He moved in there, and when they destroyed the place, they destroyed all his goods. He came out empty. Derek Prince, white man, British man, he said, don't take your family to where you can't take them out of. So it forms my talk. That's the fourth thing. When people say to me, you know, as you are growing old, it doesn't be for somebody who maybe say, he asked me something, I can't remember. He said, you are aging. I tell the person, stop saying that. I'm not aging. Why I don't remember as much as I used to remember now is because there are too many things to remember. That's all. Somebody tell me something. Later I say, sorry. I forgot the day you told me I was distracted. Because I'm here. I'm preaching. One of our sisters is getting married. You know, we are living here. I'm going to chair her reception. With all of that, by evening, I'm preaching again in Kingdom World Ministries. Tomorrow morning, we're off to Makurdi to go and preach. Do you think I'll be remembering everything? By the time I'm packing my bag, going to preach PFN in Sokoto. Do you get what I'm saying? Look, that is the reason. That is the reason. As I'm going to all of this, I'm getting a phone call. We need this one. Send us money for this. You know, I told you yesterday, happy school fees week. So that's why I will forget some things naturally. So if you come to me and say that, I say, no, in the name of Jesus, I reject it. I start telling you stories. Kenneth Hagin was 80-something. He used to tell stories of 70 years ago. And I plan to be like that. And God has helped me. I'm not yet 50, but I can remember stories that happened when I was 3, 4, and I've not forgotten. And I thank the Lord for it. And this, today we're in Oka. Pastor Okemute, in 40 years' time, we will tell the story. I will even remember what you were wearing. Yes. I will. Not because of desire, but the promise of God is shaping the way I talk. That's what I mean. First, know it. Two, believe it. Three, pray with it. Four, speak with it. Let it be the basis of your speech. Let it be the basis of your actions. Let it be the base of all the things that you do. That's what the word of God does for us. What am I saying? Everything is in who? In Christ Jesus. Let's read that scripture. We opened it earlier. I just continue talking. Now, so as to save time, I just really jump to where we want. Now, I'm going to read from verse 13. No, let me just read from verse 14. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that is, for this was how God loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes in him shall not continue in this perishing state. Whoever believes in him will no longer be under the power of death. You'll find that if you go down to chapter 5. But shall move into life. Paul wrote it like that in Colossians chapter 1, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of our sins. So you see, that's what it means. So that whoever believes will not continue to perish like that, but will now have eternal life. Now you see what he said there. If they are going to experience that, it will be because they believe in him. The same way people who needed healing believed in the serpent in the wilderness. And I always like to read that. Quickly, let's read that in Numbers chapter 21. That's where he was referring to. Numbers chapter 21. We are just magnifying Jesus. Everything God has done for us is in him. Somebody say amen. Everything God has done for us is in Christ Jesus. Let me say to you again, in Christ you are blessed. Amen. In Christ you are healed. Amen. In Christ you are forgiven. Amen. I need to say that one more time. In Christ you are forgiven. Amen. All your sins are washed away in Christ. Amen. Can I amplify that for one moment? Let me just explain to you. You can't pay for your sins. You can't pay for your sins. In fact, he considers it an insult for you to try to pay for your sins. You have been a sinner. You were singing bad songs. You give your life to Christ. You now start singing praise worship so as to pay for the days of singing bad songs. It does not work. What did I say? If God says continue singing, of course your songs will now reflect your character. I'm not saying continue singing like you decrease. Are you getting my point? I mean your songs will reflect your character. But you're not singing now because you want to pay for the days of bad singing. God expects you to learn how to accept forgiveness. I've seen people say that, I used to be a cult member on campus. I used to be, so what are you going to do now? I'm now spending my life campaigning against cultism on campus. You just die one day. God doesn't want that. He said, the people I sent to go and campaign against cults, they know it. They will do their job. If I didn't send you, forget it. Collect your forgiveness and go and plant cassava, if that's what you want to plant. Go and plant rice. Start a fish farm. Collect your forgiveness, get a job. Collect your forgiveness, start a company. Collect your forgiveness, join politics. Just collect your forgiveness and live your life. Don't try and pay me back. I get angry when people do that because they are insulting me. They are telling me I don't know how to forgive completely. You want to pay back for your sins? You cannot. Leave God. Let him take care of it. People make that mistake a lot of time. They want to use their conscience. You are working for your conscience. You are not working for God. So because I was a cult member, I'm now going to campuses now and organizing anti-cult activity. When God wants to show you, cult man will shoot you for leg. And that's because God just showed you mercy. Don't come back here again. Because this one you are doing now, the one you did before was sin. This one you are doing now is another sin. How can you use one sin to pay off for another one? You think it is righteousness. I don't think it's righteousness. What is righteousness? If I tell you I have forgiven you, accept it. Then pray. Say, what do you want me to do? Then I will now reveal to you through many methods what you are supposed to do. That's what God... Of course, you will stop the sin you were committing before. We are not saying you will continue in sin, that grace may abound. Which is what some people try to say now. That once you have given your life to Christ, you are once saved, you will always be saved. Listen, you are only saved if you continue in faith. And your faith will always produce good works. But we are not saying that you use your good works to pay for your former sins. It does not work. You must learn to accept forgiveness. Please say it again. Say, in Christ Jesus,
in Christ Jesus,
I am forgiven.
I am forgiven.
In Christ Jesus,
in Christ Jesus,
I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
In Christ Jesus,
in Christ Jesus,
all my sins, my past, have been washed away.
All my sins, my past,
in Christ Jesus, I am clean.
I am clean.
In Christ Jesus,
in Christ Jesus,
I am clean.
I am clean.
Listen, Jesus cleanses people. He cleanses people. And you have to recognize it, both in your own life and the lives of other people. That's how faith talks. Like I said, your faith must be the basis of your talk. I read a story once, which is a perfect illustration for us to know how we react to when we say Jesus cleanses people. I don't know whether that really happened or somebody just wrote the story. But they said in one church, so, not in Nigeria, most of our stories occur because they do a lot of the writing, come from abroad. They said one young woman, was a bad girl, typical bad American girl. Then one day, I don't know whether she was even a harlot of some sort, but one day she gave her life to Christ. Somebody preached the gospel to her. She really believed. She repented. God helped her to cleanse her life. And then she joined the church. And became very active in church. Good Christian girl, going about her work, joining the church. And the pastor of the church, senior man, he had a son who was also working. The girl was working in the youth, the children's portion of the church. And this pastor's son was also working in that dimension. The more they worked, the more he saw the girl. Then after some time, the boy realized he done the old though. He's supposed to marry. Now he fell in love with this young woman. And they wanted to marry her. His father is the pastor. So the elders of the church felt they had the right to speak in who this pastor's son marries. So they called a committee, saying, Daila, not that woman. He said, why not? Ah, we know what she used to be like. So they were talking. Say, talk, go. And finally the boy put up his hand, said, can I speak? They said yes. He said, I want all of you to know, it is not this young woman that I want to marry that's on trial here. It's the ability of the blood of Jesus to cleanse people. So let's continue discussing. Jesus, how far? You fit or you no fit? Fit you or fitting to you? So that's everybody shut up. Yeah, the boy just told them, say, thank you all very much. I just want you to know what we are discussing. Let's assume the woman's name is Mary Magdalene. Say, we are not discussing Mary Magdalene. We are discussing the ability of the blood of Jesus to wash. So let's continue the discussion. Let's just know what we are talking about. So we now say, the days of harlotry are still there. Jesus forgot to die for that one. All right? The blood of Jesus didn't cover that portion of her life. Her father was a drunkard. Her mother was a harlot herself. Jesus didn't wash them away. So Jesus, forget it. You not die well for this girl. Of course, nobody could say that. It's easy to believe Jesus concerning your life. But whether you will believe that he's working in other people's lives, that's the issue. That's why when people want to do marriage matters, they say, go to the village and go and do research. Is there any mad person in their family? There is no family here that there's no mad person. All of you here. It's what will trigger your madness that you did not see. I know what I'm telling you. It's when you never see wahala. I mean, your father was a chief in your village. He had a lot. That's your great grandfather. He had a lot of yam. He didn't have any problems. Same thing. Your brothers did well. They went through different businesses. They did well. One went to school later, became a doctor. One became a professor somewhere. One is a journalist. The women amongst you, even them, they are big people. They do business. They are doing okay. That's why none of them are done crazy. I'm telling you, let me take one of your cousins to the stress the other family has seen. Now, but they wake up, they bark like a dog. You think we just wake up in the morning and begin, Chris? It's trouble. They have a saying in Western Nigeria. They say a man that has not seen war, he calls himself a man. You've never been to war. You say, I'm a man. They say, wait now. Let bazooka land beside you, Busa. You will know. When he said, let us fight this country. I said, he says, you obviously, if you see all these people are shouting with Namdekan, they are all below 40. These boys were born after 1970. Those who were born before that time, they say, relax, let's negotiate. There's no need. No, go and check what I'm saying, what I'm like. Is it true? Those who will tell you, relax. See, okay, let's go to Abuja. All right, you know, the Yoruba elders from there, they had their meeting last week. They said, let us attend. Let's talk to them. Arewa people, they are meeting next week. You see, we will talk. But he said, boys, this drug may not relax. Because the guy has run before. He has seen bullets. You have not seen, all the bullets you have seen is the one they shot in Ozobulu. You have not seen real bullets. People have not seen war. No, people have not seen trouble. They've been making noise. I saw one British, one Israeli soldier. He talked about the 6-day war. He said he doesn't want to see war again. I was watching him a documentary on TV. He said, you lie down here, then boom, you hear. He said, you see your friend's brain beside you. Your friend, classmate, was beside you. They don't shoot up. He said, no, that there must be no war again. That's why Isaac Rabin used to fight that there should be no war. They said, give us this land. He said, take. Promise you won't fight me, I'll give it to you. Because the men have been through war. So he said, before them, they can go and say, small boys between the age of 18 and 20 something. They don't have shopping on Nigeria. Those who have shopping on Nigeria, they are not going there. They don't have time. Those who have businesses, they don't have that time. You think the boys in Alaba, have you ever seen IPOB in Alaba market? That in Lagos. Men, boys are busy. So all this, investigate the family, is it madness? Ask them, investigate the family, is there trouble? It's people that have seen win, that then they crazy. You think your brain is balanced? Wait. Just wait now. And as if you tell me, go and investigate the family. Is there madness in the family? I just laugh. The one that is in your family, God has been covering you people for a very long time. You have to be careful when you are discriminating against people, especially those who are bought by the blood of Jesus. What you need is people who really believe, whose faith is firm and founded in Christ Jesus. When my younger brother wanted to marry, I keep on using that illustration. My mother was concerned that, because of course, I'm from Ondo State. My brother used to stay with me in Enugu. And I met a woman from Imo State that I wanted to marry her. Oh, you know me, I don't get wahala. Do I need to tell you that? I don't get stressed. My mother said, what do you think? I said, about what? You know, because my dad just passed on that time. All right? It was the same month my dad passed on. So, the same month we did the funeral. So, it was after the burial, we were at home talking. My mother was saying, what do you think? I said, what do I think? There's no problem. I like the girl. She's a fine girl. Good girl. You know what? I said, well, listen, pipe down. We are either Christians or we are not. I said, what you should be asking me is that, what kind of person is she? Is she truly a believer? So that's the question you should be asking me. This story of Imo State is far. I don't understand it. That was it. He said, I'm the one, he's copying. Is it not good? Your son is copying a man with his head together. He never asked for your son. They said they were with the smoke. You didn't have ask for your son. Say they arrested the elder brother in the airport and bribing NDLEA to come out of cocaine prison. You are following me that I married from Delta State. I located myself in Enugu. And very soon I'm going to Makurdi. From there I'm going to Zamfara. It's good. Is that not what it is? I told my mother. I said we are either Christians or we are not. So she piped down. My brother has been married now for many years, living very happily with his wife in Lagos, having wonderful children. What else are you looking for? And my mother is very, very happy. She goes more to his house than to come to my house. Yes. Come to Enugu now. She goes, look, say, Enugu is far, but Lagos is near here. She goes more to Lagos than coming to Enugu. You know those days? Sorry, I'm telling you stories. He said, one of my cousins wanted to marry. Now we're from Ondo State. He wanted to marry a guy he met on campus, University of Benin. And the guy is the reason why I went to University of Benin. That, but the girl is from the East. So the family people said, no. And that one too. I don't know what was wrong with my cousin. Now my mother, let me not insult him openly. I said, he agreed. That's why he take dissolve the matter. You know what happened to him? Should I tell you? Not him, my family people. What God did to all of them. The guy now finally married a Jamaican. The day my auntie told me, I did her like this. They have never seen his children. Never. His children are now at least in their 20s. We have never seen his children. Because he went to the Caribbean islands, from there went to the United States. Somewhere there he married a Jamaican babe. And that was the end. I told my auntie, in Asiso, say they admired his Abia girl. If he doesn't want to come home, the girl will bring him home. There will be two things pulling them home. That he will have now seen our cousins. But we never saw them. Because somebody was foolish enough to be. Let's read our Bible. The blood. Now we're talking about the blood of Jesus. In Christ Jesus we are clean. Somebody say amen. In Christ Jesus, we have been made one. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus, all the madness in our families are wiped away. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And you want to marry? You marry based on genuine faith. One day I heard that. True story, one I want to tell you. One of my friends said one day one of their uncles wanted to marry. The mother, being the big woman of the family, like the mother for all of them. Even though her own mother is the big sister. Was one of the younger brothers, but the woman was like their mother, all right? You know what I'm talking about. He said, no, you can't marry the girl. Why not? He said, because the girl has one leg that's slightly shorter than the other. So the woman said no. So they dissolved the arrangement. And the interesting part, this is which way I heard the story. That man finally married somebody else with two straight normal legs, nothing spoiled. But the first two children they had, a boy and a girl, their legs were uneven. Exactly, said the mother learned a lesson from that experience. And we don't want to learn lessons. Somebody say, maybe somebody, the girl placed a curse on them. Why should a curse alight on you anyway, if you were not guilty? The Bible says a curse, curseless will not come. It will not stand. It will not alight. I'm teaching Christians, be careful how you relate with the blood of Jesus. If Jesus says we have made one into all into one man, believe him. In Jesus, we are one. That is why I don't care. I can marry from anywhere. Thank God I've already married anyway, so it's easy for me to say. Even the one I did, I mean, my wife is from Delta State. The Lord is good. I'm just emphasizing that in Christ Jesus, we are one. In Christ Jesus, we are free. In Christ Jesus, all the so-called madness in the families, they've been removed. Listen, I feel like praying for you. Please put up one hand, right hand. Father, your children, they've heard your word that I'm speaking. Therefore, by the power of that word, I break every familial bondage in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That word has broken it, we are confirming it. Whether it is poverty, sickness, madness, premature death, that is said is in any of the families here. By the power of the blood of Jesus, it is broken now.
Amen.
Whatever be the name that curse carries, we declare it broken by the power of the blood of Jesus and the power of his word in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You are free.
Amen.
Now listen to this. Your children are free.
Amen.
Your children will not be born for calamity.
Amen.
Every poverty in your life is broken.
Amen.
Fruitfulness is your portion.
Amen.
This is the word of God. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus. He was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be made rich. Be made rich in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Your children will not suffer.
Amen.
Listen to me. God will prosper you for their sake.
Amen.
And God will prosper them so they will be a blessing to many.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I rebuke fear out of your life.
Amen.
That fear that makes children of God make useless decisions, it will not be your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The faith of God will protect you.
Amen.
The faith you have in the Lord Jesus will defend you.
Amen.
The word of God will stand and speak to you all the time.
Amen.
God, your people will not go astray in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
They will not believe the word of Satan in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
My Father, I pray that no one will be persuaded to go against your word.
Amen.
Anyone listen to me this morning, you will be established in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And listen to me, this generation will know that the faith of Jesus in you produces godly results.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I declare you free totally.
Amen.
Please don't worry again. There's no need to worry. Jesus has delivered you.
Amen.
As for that sin, it will not catch up with you. No, I'm telling you, it will not catch up with you.
Amen.
Why? Because Jesus has paid for it.
Amen.
Now you are free.
Amen.
Live in freedom.
Amen.
Live with thanksgiving.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me just read this so I can close with it. I've really spoken at length. Numbers chapter 21. How do people enjoy the redemption they have in Jesus? Paul said, John said, if they will believe the same way those who Moses lifted up the serpent for believed, then they will experience healing, salvation. He said, and as Moses, let me just read them this one now. Verse 8. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fairy serpent and set it on a standard. And it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, will live. And Moses set a bronze serpent, made a bronze serpent, and set it on the standard. And it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now, please, I want to just read that from the Amplified Bible, which is where I normally get that from. Remember, we are looking at how the people believed. You know, John chapter 3 there. He said, whoever will look at Jesus, who will believe. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so whoever will believe in Jesus will be saved. That is, the point is that Jesus was lifted up the way Moses lifted up the serpent. So whosoever will believe in Jesus will be saved. So we want to know how people believe in Jesus by looking at how they believed in the serpent. Are you getting my point? That believing is a looking. They looked at the serpent, they were saved. They were healed. Now we are going to look at Jesus and be healed. So how is the question? Now please, let me read that to you. Just pay attention to me from Numbers chapter 21 in the Amplified Bible. Verse 9. And Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole. And if a serpent had bitten any man, when he looked to the serpent of bronze, attentively, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze, he lived. How are we supposed to look at Jesus? We are supposed to look at him attentively, expectantly, with a steady and absorbing gaze. That's how we believe. How are we supposed to look at Jesus? We look at him attentively. Remember, Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the sacrificial lamb that makes the Word of God effective in our lives. If God says, I will heal my people, Jesus says, that promise is yours. If God says, I will forgive their sins, Jesus says, that promise is yours. If God says, they will not lack, Jesus says, that promise is yours. If God says, they will not die prematurely, Jesus says, that promise is yours. Are you getting my point? Yeah. That's the meaning of Christ. If you notice something, I want to just point note something here. Since yesterday, since we've been praying, three different people have led prayer here. My brother Yinka, my brother Okemote, and me. Three of us have led prayer. None of us has taken anybody's eye and put it on their enemies. Have you killed witch since we came yesterday? We have not worried about our destiny destroyers. We know the people that destroy destinies are the sins in our hearts. If we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus, we are free. Nobody can destroy our destiny. I hope you're getting my point. What we have tried to do since we've been praying and studying is to focus everybody's eyes on what Jesus, on who Jesus is and what he did for us. It's to focus everybody's eyes on the Word of God. I have to close now. But listen, if you obey those instructions, focusing on what Jesus has done, it will always produce life in you. Those people were beaten by serpents. Those people were beaten, now I want to apply it, by diseases. They were beaten by environmental problems. They were beaten by frustration. They were beaten by fear. They were beaten by curses from their enemies. They were beaten by all kinds of things. But God did not say, as many as shall kill the serpent shall live. I don't know whether I get my point.
Yes,
he didn't say, as many as shall go after the serpent that beat him, will kill him and come and give testimony in church. Yesterday, as we were praying, my uncle died. And I knew that the progress of my family has been the one holding it down. Believe me, your auntie will rise up. I know what I'm telling you. What are we supposed to do? Ignore the serpent. Tell your neighbor, ignore that serpent on the ground. Ignore the one that's biting. Focus your eyes on the one on the pole. Jesus is the one that's lifted up. We focus on Jesus and the effect of all the other things, they die off. Their effects don't die off because we focus on them. Unfortunately, that's how Christians pray. They focus on the serpent on the ground. They focus on the environmental trouble. They focus on the enemies in the environment. They don't focus on the Jesus that is lifted. And they think they will live. No, you can't live like that. You will not be healed like that. That's what native doctors do. They will tell you, they call it poison in generally in Nigeria, but in the West, we call it atta. Atta means pepper. A man will have a big sword behind. They say, they throw on pepper. A man will have what doctors call diabetic foot. Yoruba man will say, they throw on pepper. Or he stepped on pepper. Or generally, we now use the word poison. Why am I sick? I stepped on poison. They will now go and meet somebody like that. I know his job. Let us bring out the pepper. Let's bring out the poison. I know the truth. You always bring out something. You know that? I hope you know all of that in our fraud. You know Amokachi? How many of you know Amokachi? How much did they collect from him? It's about $15,000. Somewhere between $15,000 and $19,000. Boys collected from him. You know what happened to him? Amokachi was in his house. They knocked on the door. Some men came and said that time he was, of course, you see, footballers, you can't play forever. 10 years, your own door over. Normally, you don't play for so long. Amokachi's own tour was coming to an end. He was a big Nigerian guy at that time, Nigerian international. But then he had an injury. We did not heal because, one day they asked Odegbami, I was watching, I don't know how many of you also are old enough to know Odegbami. Yes, the days of Odegbami, Odi, Okala, and all of those people. Odegbami, one day they were interviewing him on TV. They said, do you still play ball? He said, no. He said, they asked him why. He said, like every other thing, when you use it so much, it wears out, that his knees are worn out. That he doesn't play much anymore. That he has pounded the knees. Those are the footballers of the 70s, you know? Now, so Omokachi's own, I think his own time was coming to an end. But he wanted to continue playing. Then, he was in his house in Lagos, and some men knocked on his door. He told his story himself. They said, they are men of God. Please be careful of those people who call themselves men of God. That they want to, and they call themselves men of God, they start using things that are obviously fetish. 15,000 naira to kiss their shoes. If you kiss their shoes, you should know yourself, you need deliverance. Deliverance from stupidity, deliverance from ignorance. They came to Amokachi, they said that the reason why his knee is injured and is not healed, that God is angry with him. Why is God angry with you? They said, okay, let them prove it. They told Amokachi to go and bring an egg. He went, brought the egg himself, not the egg this man brought, his own egg. They put a white handkerchief on his knee. And they prayed or something, I don't know. They broke the egg Amokachi supposedly brought. They broke it on his knee. The egg Amokachi brought himself brought out blood. You know, you break an egg, supposed to bring out yolk and egg white. This one came out with pure blood. They told him that's a sign that God is angry with him. And they said, so he said, why is God angry with him? That all the years we were playing ball, listen to this, you did not pay God your tithe. So what will I do? You start paying him now. Start paying now. They are men of God. They will collect it for God. Amokachi said he didn't know what covered his eyes. What he had in the house was, I think, just under $20,000. He walked into his house. His wife was begging him. He said, this is deliverance. He collected the money and gave the men. Yes. He said it was when they locked his gate, his eyes opened. As they locked the gate to go, suddenly he realized, what have I done? As per the egg that turned to egg, to blood, don't be impressed. It's called magic. I listened to Kayode Pella preach once. I don't know how many people are old enough to remember Professor Pella. Professor Pella's son is Kayode Pella. Kayode Pella took after his father. He went into fraud, 419, until God punished him, afflicted him by getting him hooked on drugs. It was while he was hooked on drugs, a doctor preached to him, he gave his life to Christ. Kayode Pella is a preacher today. When I was in Ado many years ago, he came to our church to come and preach. And he told us that all of these things, that they used to do it. Magic. That they mix trick with occultism. And he did a few stunts for us on stage. Yes, I saw this man make a handkerchief vanish. He would turn around like this, a stick would change to handkerchief. You collect coin from you, disappear. Slap you, something will fall from his hand. He said, listen, that... And then he will now slow it down. When he slows the process down, you'll be alarmed. He said, that thing, it was in my hand. You didn't know. He said, we'll call it palming. I went to school in the U.S. to learn how to do it. See all these people? One day, my wife went to the church. He went to do something in a particular church. And one pastor there was talking to my wife. He said, madam. He said, madam, things is happening. No. That's what he said. I'm giving you what he said. Things is happening. No. He said to my wife, my things are happening. Began to tell him stories. People who will hide egg in their private part and go for crusade. And they will say, hey, they will pray. Egg will come out. And that the women get paid 2,000 naira. They come up with all kinds of testimonies that they get paid 2,000 naira. So don't let anybody deceive you. And Mokachi said that was how they deceived him and collected his $20,000 almost, about $15,000 to $19,000. I'm not sure if there's that amount again. A lot of fraudsters out there. Please, don't let them catch you. You focus on Jesus. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes.
Focus on Christ. Focus on the word of God. Don't let fraudsters catch you. They shouldn't. They pretend to be men of God. They are not. You start pointing out who's afflicting you. Nobody's afflicting you. Focus on your God. That's why they now look. We focus on Jesus. It's not focus on the cause of our problems. We focus on Jesus, not focus on those who are afflicting us. All they say is poison that's dead. They now do something will now come out. Even if you see the thing coming out, don't believe it. Once I was in a motor park, one guy said he's selling drugs to remove one from your eyes. How that guy did that till now, I don't know. I'm a trained medical doctor. I know those things can't come out of your eyes. This guy was bringing black ones from the eyes of everybody that allowed him to drop that his medicine on their eyes. He will drop the thing in your eyes like this. I was sitting in front of the bus. The man beside me opened his eyes. I'm a human beings are bold. A stranger dropped something in your eye, not even the back of your hand. The thing was hot. Smarting the eyes like this. That's when he will come back, open it. To my shock, I saw the black thread-like stuff looking literally like worms, removing it, and you remove it from your eyes. He said, the man that that's why your eyes been having problems. I sold him the drugs. I sat down there. I was a fresh graduate from university that time. I was looking at it. I couldn't believe my eyes. Two things bewildered me. Number one, how did he do it? I happen to know the worms that affect the eyes. None of them look like that. Number two, that size of worm cannot crawl out of your eyes. From where? Pure magic. Please, don't let people deceive you. They said they dig the earth and bring something out. They always bring something out. The earth has a lot of things. If you dig long enough, something will come out of it. But what's the difference? My message for you today is focus on Christ Jesus. Forget what is buried. Forget the poison. Forget the altar that you stepped on. Forget the stuff. Forget all of that rubbish. Focus on Christ. Healing will come to your body. Amen. Deliverance will come to your family.
Amen.
The solution of God is called Christ Jesus. It is His word. Check the word of God, the testimony of Jesus. Read it. Turn to Him in prayer. Kneel beside your bed and say, Lord, you have said through your Son Jesus that you love me. These are my afflictions. Deliver me according to your word. He will deliver you. Be bold. Lay your own hands on your children. They will be healed. They will be healed. Don't ever let God hear from your mouth or even from your heart, because sometimes we don't say some things with our mouth. Our hearts are secretly thinking them. It's my man goes, ever since they packed into that compound, my children have been having convulsion. My man goes, his children is thinking that ever since I packed in here, this mama Chinedu, my children have been having fever. All my enemies die. Two of you kill each other. Then the whole street will die. Please forget that. That's not Christianity. I told you yesterday, I want to say it again. If you are here, you go to church. Every Sunday you are killing your enemies. Please find another church. You shouldn't go there. Fire prayers against your uncle. You should be praying that your uncle should be saved. You are a child of God. You shouldn't want anybody to die. Because you know God can bless you whether they are alive or they are dead. It doesn't matter. So choose that they should be alive while God works on their lives. I hope you're getting my point. That is true Christianity. It's lifting up Jesus. Let's rise to our feet and lift up Jesus.